I remember they called it polis. They would put on your chest if you had a lot of congestion, and I hated those things.
What went into those?
My dad would get these little pine strips of wood, off, I guess, pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
Little pine, pieces of pine, and he made some kind of a thing on the bank of the road to where he made a hole from down through the bank, and he would burn this wood in a little bucket, and it would, the tar that would come out of this pine would go through a little pipe and run out into another bucket, and that was called tar.
Yeah.
And it came out of pine, and they would take that tar and mix it with, I believe it was lard. That would keep it from blistering.
Mm-hmm.
And they put something else with it, but I don't remember. And they would put it in cloths and fold it, you know, where it wouldn't get on your skin.
Yeah.
But, and they would get it real hot and put it on your chest. I mean, you know, not too hot, but hot enough that it would be real warm. And it smelled. Oh, I could not stand the smell of the tar, and I hated those poultices, and I would. But that would loosen the congestion.
Yeah.
And I was trying to think of some more home remedies. With for sore throat, they would take grape leaves.
What are those?
Grapevines.
Oh.
Grapes grow on.
Oh, okay.
We had several of those. Grape vineyard, I'd call it. Mm-hmm. Now I would call it that, because it was, my dad had a lot of, he had an orchard. He had peaches, apples, and these grapevines, and they would get in the summertime now. I don't know what we did in the wintertime for a sore throat. I think we would use the Watkins liniment to guard our throat in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
But now in the summertime, if we had a sore throat, they would take these green grape leaves, and I believe they would either boil them or just beat them up real good and put them in make a poultice out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on your throat.
And that was supposed to make it stop hurting?
Mm-hmm.
Did it work?
It worked, I guess. I used it.
Oh, wow. So the other one, did the other one work too?
Uh-huh.
Gosh.
They would put it on at night when we'd go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then sleep with it on, you know.
Yeah. Did you share a room with your...
Oh, yes. We had to share a bed too. We had two beds in the bedroom where the girls slept. So there was four of us, four girls, two to each bed. And then my brother had a bedroom.
He was the lucky one.
He had one by himself. But to share everything.
So when one of y'all was sick, everybody got it.
That's right. One got it, everybody got it, just about. And I know I had the measles when I was in high school. I had the big red measles. I had a temperature that no telling how high my temperature went. And I wouldn't tell my mother. I stayed away from her. This happened in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
But I was exposed to some kids on the bus that had the fever on the last day of school when we rode home from school.
Yeah.
And in about 2 weeks, I think from 7 to 10 days after you are exposed, you will take them.
Uh-huh.
And so I started running this temperature real hot, felt so bad, but I knew what it was, but I wouldn't tell her. And I went just as long as I could. And one night, got in the bed with my sister, and she touched me with her feet, her legs, and I was so hot until she jerked her leg back. She told my mother that I was burning up. Well, I was glad that somebody knew about it, but I didn't want to tell them. Anyway, that's when she found out that I was so hot, and she started then getting my temperature down.
She gave me aspirin,
and I don't remember what she did, but the next morning I didn't get up. I stayed in bed. I felt so bad. I thought, well, she knows I'm sick now, so I'll just stay in the bed.
Yeah.
So what she did, she, there was a family that lived on our property. We had 80 acres, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad rented the 40 acres out. He had a house on it. And there's another family that lived over there. And they had an ice box. They had an ice box, and they had would buy this 50 pounds of ice at the time and put in that.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother went over there and got some ice and made some lemonade and made me drink some ice cold lemonade. And anything that was real cold back then, they said to break the measles out of them, and it did.
Wow.
Break the measles out. But that was one of the times I was so sick, one of the sickest times, I guess, that I had. And then I had the whooping cough when I was 10 years old. I'd already had the whooping cough before I had the measles. And that was an ordeal.
I'm sure. That was
terrible. And, you know, they didn't have the vaccinations back then like they did, like they do now. But the only thing we ever got a vaccination for was smallpox and typhoid fever. They didn't have, I don't know if they had it or they just didn't come out and get it. They would come to the school out there and gave me my smallpox vaccination. And then they would come out in the summertime and give typhoid shots. We'd have to get three. Because of outdoor toilets and not having as sanitation as much as we do now. But there was a lot of hookworms, they called it, and diseases like that. And there was also a lot of typhoid fever going around because there's so many mosquitoes. And so we'd get those three shots. We'd get one each week, one a week till we got three.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be one of those shots that would hurt us real bad afterwards. Our arm would just get terribly red and sore. They would be one of the shots out of the three that would do that.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the first one or the second or the third. But our arm, my arm, and all the rest of them that took them, we'd have temperature real bad, and it would get so, it was so sore we couldn't use it for a day or two. Oh, I hated to have to get those shots. But we didn't have a shot for whooping cough, or we didn't have a shot for measles. And we had smallpox. I guess we had everything there was to get. And survived.
Yeah.
But
you never had hookworms, though.
No. No, but I think that was from going barefooted around barns or outhouses, you know.
So y'all were never allowed to go barefoot during the summer?
Oh, yeah, we went barefoot. But we weren't allowed to go, down in the mud we did. But, in the areas like where there was maybe sewage or something.
What was that like?
Well, it's kind of hard to describe.
Do you remember being a little scared having to go out there in the middle of the night or anything?
We usually didn't have to get up and go out.
You just wait till the morning?
Yeah. But later years, my dad, some way through the government, he was able to, they built or furnished the material
mm-hmm.
for on our house. And we had a, it was made out of steel, a stool,
you know,
and a lid on it, and a concrete floor, and, you know, it was real nice. We had that in our later years as teenagers.
Another thing I was going to ask you, Hubert worked in the steel mills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did y'all live in a mill housing area? Did y'all ever live in a mill housing place?
No.
Did y'all live separate from the mill? Y'all live away from the mill?
When he went to work in Birmingham, times had changed a lot by that time in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved into a project. It was, at that time, it's still Elton Village.
Oh.
On 3rd Avenue West.
Yeah.
And you paid, your rent was based on the amount of money you made, your income.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's where we lived when we first moved there. And then after that, we moved out of there and moved into close to the airport. I think it was actually used to be barracks, and that was even a lower rent there, mm-hmm. based on your income. And that's where we were living when we moved to Odenville. And the reason we moved to Odenville, he got laid off so much during the 50s and early 60s. He was laid off a lot. And so we moved to Odenville. His parents were still in chicken farm, chicken business at that time. And so he came up here and went to work for his dad in chickens and hauling feed, eggs. And we just stayed. Then he got called back to Birmingham to his job, but we never moved back to Birmingham. We stayed in Odenville, and he just drove back and forth for years.
So he was never in a union?
Oh, he belonged to a union in some of the places.
Did he get into the union in the very, very beginning when he first started?
No, I think he didn't join a union until he went to work for a Birmingham tank.
When was that?
Joy Manufacturing.
When was that? What was that?
About a year.
Yeah.
It was in the city.
Oh, during the 50s when he worked all through that time, did he ever talk about a union? Did he ever talk about the union, or he was going to join the union?
Well, I think most of them did. Most of them had to join the union. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear him talk about it. Onto the union. Because if they went on strike, well, they had to strike. Or
did he ever go on strike?
Yep. Well, I think they did at one time.
Was that was in the 50s? That was in the 50s?
No, 60s.
How long was he on strike?
Oh, not long.
Was it scary, though?
Yeah.
I bet they have strike breakers come in, and they have scabs.
The one picket line?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had to at times. It was kind of scary.
But then you had kids and everything. Mm-hmm.